In our tour through some of the Celtic saints, we come today to Hilda and Caedmon. Through Caedmon's story, we're picking up another strand of Celtic Christianity, which weaves together with all the others to make the strong cord of faith which sustained the Celtic Church. This strand is creativity, a strand which adds colour and life and joy. Once a monastery had been established on Lindisfarne, the spread of Christianity throughout Northumbria was really quick. Communities were established all over the place. One was at Whitby, which is now on the Yorkshire coast. The abbess there was Hilda. She was somebody who was highly regarded by Aidan. She was a woman with a royal background, but totally committed to having a community there where social background didn't matter at all, where everybody was on the same footing. When you think of the time it took to get women ministers in the Church of Scotland, I think the Celtic Church was way ahead of its time. Caedmon attached himself to this community, and he was given a job to do. He knew nothing about Christianity, but he obviously found this community attractive, and he loved listening to their music. And apparently, whenever there was a feast and they wanted to celebrate it, everybody would take a turn to sing and entertain. A bit like a ceilidh, isn't it? Celtic ceilidh. And Caedmon acquired a reputation of leaving the gathering just when the harp was going to be passed to him to do something. You see, he wasn't at all musical. He wasn't poetic himself. He struggled to get his words out. But things were to change. On one occasion, he disappeared from the gathering as usual, just before things were going to come to him. And he went to do his work looking after the animals. And he settled down in the stable to sleep. And then he had a dream where a man called his name and asked him to sing a song for him. "I can't sing," he said. "But you shall sing to me about the creation of all things." Now remember that not only could Caedmon not sing, but he didn't know anything about the Christian faith. Wasn't at all well acquainted with the Bible or the Bible stories. But he sang a most beautiful poem set to music about God the Creator. And the next morning, he went to see Hilda, and she got some of her leaders together, and they listened to Caedmon and his story, and they decided that the gift he'd received was from God. It was definitely from God. He was welcomed into the community. And as they taught him everything about the faith, his job was to turn all these stories into poems and songs. And this was a great way of introducing the gospel to the people locally, because he spoke in their language. These were words that they understood. So Caedmon did this until the day he died. And he was known as one of the... Somebody else has learned to sing. So he was known as one of the great Celtic poets. It's a good story. And if anybody here thinks that they can't sing, there is hope. John Bell of the Iona community says that everybody can sing, but perhaps not everybody can write the poetry as well. I'm sure that if I asked for a show of hands of people here who don't think that they are at all gifted, I would get quite a few hands going up. I've heard people say this before, I don't have any gifts. If I asked if anybody thought they weren't creative, I'd probably get even more hands. No, not at all creative. No imagination. This is what we're going to explore this morning. Caedmon's gift came from God in a quite spectacular way. But today we're going to hear two bits of the Bible about gifts from God, written about 1,500 years apart. And the first relates to Moses fulfilling God's commandment to build a tabernacle. You can find it on page 95 of the Pew Bibles, and Gary's going to read it for us.
Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of the meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewellery of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, ram skins dyed red, or heads of sea cows brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord. And everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. All these Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic craftsmanship. And he has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them master craftsmen and designers."
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. A little bit further on from that reading, we hear that people brought more than was needed. Contributions had to be stopped. John Young will tell you that this is the passage that jumped out at him when we were trying to raise the last money for the Kirk for All project when we refurbished the inside of the church. And we did actually get to the point where we had to say we'd reached the total. We didn't need any more contributions. The Israelites had recently incurred God's anger by building a golden calf to worship instead of him. They'd been waiting for Moses to return from speaking to God, and he was taking such a long time that they decided to make another god to worship, this golden calf. Moses was so mad that he broke the tablets with the Ten Commandments on them. And God was angry and punished the people with a plague, but then told them to go to the promised land without him. And Moses had to plead with God to be with them. And this is God giving them a second chance. The tablets are renewed, and God tells Moses again how he wants the tabernacle built, where he will be present with the Israelites. God wants to be there with his people. It's absolutely vital this time that there's obedience to God's plan. The three things that I want to pick out from that reading. Giving to God is voluntary. It's not forced. The people who brought gifts for the tabernacle are described as everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him. We give to God because of God's grace to us. It's a natural reaction. In the New Testament, we have the woman who anointed Jesus with expensive perfume. Some of his disciples thought this was over the top, but Jesus didn't. That woman recognized what Jesus had done for her, saved her, transformed her life, and she responded from the bottom of her heart. The second thing is that God gave the gifts that were needed to Bezalel and Oholiab. Nobody could say, but we haven't got anybody who could do that. God provided the gifts. And notice that the gifts they receive are not just gifts of craftsmanship, but gifts of teaching too, so that others can be trained to have the gifts as well. And thirdly, everybody could contribute something, even if they didn't have the skills. Even if they couldn't make things, they could still give something. In imagination, they could see what God's design would be like. So they could give a gold bracelet and imagine it in the gold decorations of the tabernacle. And without all these different contributions, it could never have been completed. And now we move on to a much later bit of the Bible. Paul, writing to the Christians at Corinth. They were setting people up against each other and making it a matter of pride as to who had the greatest gifts and abilities. So let's listen to what Paul wrote. It's 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 4, page 1153.
There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but to the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Lord, bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to him be all praise and glory. Amen.
Everybody who believes in Jesus as their Saviour receives the Holy Spirit. And in this passage, Paul tells us that with that Spirit come spiritual gifts, all sorts of gifts, which are intended to enable us to serve the Lord in different ways. The gifts will not all be the same, and they're not for the glory of individuals. They are for the common good, it says. We're all in this together, and everybody will have gifts. It says in verse 7, now to each one, everybody has gifts. And gifts are given to be used. God may be working in different ways through different people, but it's the same God working. Peter, in his first letter, says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. We've been given these gifts to use. Paul's list here covers wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, power, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues. Now, some of these may seem gifts far beyond us. But if you look ahead to verse 28 of the same chapter, Paul adds, apostles, teachers, those able to help others, and those with gifts of administration. These are a bit more down to earth. In his letter to the Romans, Paul lists serving, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, leadership, showing mercy. And in his letter to the Ephesians, he includes evangelists and pastors. It seems there's no definitive list of gifts of the Spirit, as we might expect, of a Spirit who we know in so many different guises, a comforter, a guide, a helper, a strengthener. The Holy Spirit is a kaleidoscope in itself, who gives all sorts of gifts to us. The Celtic Church took gifts from God very seriously. In the story of Hilda and Caedmon, Caedmon suddenly received a very creative gift indeed, which the leaders realized must have come from God. And this gift of poetry was to be very effective in evangelism, in reaching out to the people round about, as well as enhancing the worship of the church. The Celtic Christians loved poetry and loved song, although, of course, we don't have recordings, but people think they must have had some sort of a plain chant, a bit perhaps like some of the African songs that we sing today. Perhaps they would have liked Come All You People. You know, that might have been their sort of music. They loved art. They loved designs. Look at the designs on Celtic crosses, all these circles weaving in and out, just like Jesus weaving into every part of our lives. Look at the Lindisfarne Gospels, the Book of Kells, all these wonderful illuminated manuscripts bringing life and color to the gospel. A source of delight to everyone who sees them. Obviously, they were a source of love to those who did them, expressing their love for God, wanting to give glory to Him. We have people in our church family who can produce beautiful things. We love looking at them. We have people who write songs, people who can play and sing. Imagine our church without any music, without any colour. The creative gifts which the Celtic Church treasured brought life and colour and joy to their communities, and this is what made them attractive to other people. Caedmon was drawn into the community at Whitby because he liked what he heard and saw. These people were enjoying life. It was good to be with them. He wanted some of that joy too. Looking at Paul's lists, there are all sorts of gifts, and some will not be obviously creative. I say obviously, because I think the creative bit has to be added in the way we use them. The Oxford Dictionary describes creativity as the ability to create, which is hardly surprising. But it goes on to say, showing imagination as well as routine skill, and then intended to stimulate imagination. I was quite upset to find that the only example they gave beside the word creative was creative accountancy. The modification of accounts to achieve a desired end, or the falsification of accounts, which is misleading, though not illegal. It gave me shivers down my spine. I had a boss once who tried always to get me to be creative with my accounts. I prefer creativity applied to other things, and I love imagination. If we look back at that Moses story, the people had a big project. They had to build a tabernacle. They wanted God to be with them. It was a major project. Today, we're not working towards building a tabernacle, although no doubt the church will have more building projects at some point in the future. But we know from Jesus that God did come to be in the midst of his people, and that Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God. We have a major project in seeking the kingdom. The kingdom of God here on earth, a kingdom of justice and joy and peace and love. It's a major, major job. And it's something that everybody can contribute to. It doesn't matter what we contribute. God gives gifts to everyone and works through them. Perhaps we have to apply some imagination. We all have imagination, you know, from being a child. I'm convinced we just suppress it when we get older. Eddie Askew tells a story of being on a car journey with his young granddaughter and playing I Spy to keep her occupied. It was her turn. "Something beginning with C," she said. They tried everything. They had to give in. "Crisps," she said. "There aren't any crisps here. I can see them." "We can't see any crisps." "Well, you need to try harder." I believe we all need to try harder with our imagination. If your gift is in helping others, use your imagination to put yourself in people's shoes. What is the help they really need? We have a group of artisans in our church now, people who are good at fixing things with their hands. They don't only offer their services in the halls and around the church, but to people in the community who get stuck because they can't climb ladders to fix light bulbs or knock nails into things. That's using their imagination. What do people need? The people who first thought of Messy Church used their imagination to put themselves in the shoes of young families who don't come to church. What would they come to? And they dreamt up Messy Church. Perhaps your gift is the ability to concentrate on prayer. Imagine being a refugee. What would that refugee want you to pray for? It doesn't matter how ordinary your gift is. Use your imagination to help it count in God's service. There's an old spiritual which says, oh, you got to get a glory in the work you do. A hallelujah chorus in the heart of you. Paint or tell a story, sing or shovel coal. But you got to get a glory or the job lacks soul. Whatever gifts you have, and each of us has at least one gift, make it count. It was given for the common good. If all our gifts are being used creatively, bringing glory to God, just think what life and colour and joy there will be in this church. Just think what life and colour and joy can affect the lives of people that we come into contact with. Just think how attractive it will be to people who are longing for some purpose and some meaning. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the gifts your Spirit gives to each one of us. Help us to identify them and to use our imagination, to use them creatively. Lord, help each one of us to contribute to the life and the colour and the joy of our church family as together we work for the building of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.